This is Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. It's been 3 years since we talked to Joni Gammel of Annapolis. She's a trained nurse and recovering pill addict who works as an interventionist, a professional who confronts addicts who are resistant to treatment and persuades them to enter rehab. Her first book, The Interventionist, describes how she works. Her new book takes us deeper into her own recovery. It's called Painkillers, Heroin, and the Road to Sanity. And Joni Gammel is here in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Sheila, for having me back.
What did you feel you still needed to communicate after the first book?
I felt like I needed to communicate the very current epidemic of prescription opiates and heroin, and specifically to the East Coast, the Mid-Atlantic region where I live, has been the hardest hit by this heroin epidemic.
Early in the book, you pose a question, is an addict born or created? That you say the million-dollar question.
Yes.
Is why some people become addicted to a substance and other people can just take it or leave it.
Right. Well, everybody who takes opiates will become physically dependent. And then there is the addict. That is the one that the midbrain, and I don't want to get too technical, the amygdala reacts very differently to the opiates, and they can't give it up. The reward pathway is just not wired the same. But everyone who takes opiates for a long term will become physically dependent, but many people can just wean off and stay off, but the true addict cannot.
And your title, Painkillers, Heroin, and the Road to Sanity, grabbed me because Maryland is in the midst of such a scary heroin epidemic.
Correct.
As you mentioned, the number of heroin-related deaths in Maryland has just about doubled
mm-hmm.
since you wrote your first
yes.
book. And in your county, and Anne Arundel, mm-hmm. more than 200 overdoses, not necessarily deaths, but 200 overdoses just this year. From what you see, why are we having this epidemic now?
We're having the epidemic because the FDA is cracking down on prescription opiates. For the first time, the number one opiate that we as Americans use is Vicodin. As an example, Americans represent 5% of the global population, and we use 99% of hydrocodone or Vicodin. The FDA is finally taking a hard look at that. You can no longer call that in on the phone. You have to have a written prescription. So the doctors are tightening up because the FDA is watching them, and the people who sell heroin to this country watch news channels like everybody, and they see a hole in the market, so they're filling it with heroin.
And so it sounds like this is a new breed of heroin users.
It is, because they're making heroin look very innocent, like the cocaine of the 80s and 90s.
I never thought of cocaine as innocent.
It's not innocent, but people would, or especially kids, would party with cocaine and then sleep it off. Now the kids are partying with heroin that's a fine white powder that you can snort that looks like cocaine, and they wake up Monday morning and they have a habit, meaning they're physically addicted and they need more to not feel sick. And what I still find confusing is there's been so many overdoses, and that's probably because the prevalence of heroin is higher, but the heroin is also stronger. The people that are supplying it are sort of killing off their market share. I know that sounds very callous, but it's probably more that it's just more prevalent and the kids are using it more.
On WIPR Maryland Morning, that's Joni Gammel, a registered nurse, recovering addict, and interventionist. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about her book, Painkillers, Heroin, and the Road to Sanity. You said you talked to kids in schools mm-hmm. near where
yes,
you live.
Yes, I have.
What do they tell you, and what do you tell them?
Well, I try to emphasize how dangerous it is that, and you initially said, is an addict born or is an addict made?
Mm-hmm.
And it really is both. If you use a substance long enough, even if you don't have the genetic markers that they believe is 40 to 60%, you can become an addict. So I try to emphasize to the kids, even if you have parents that don't have issues with alcohol and drugs, by trying
and yours, it, yours did.
Yes. Oh, yes. Both my parents died of addiction and alcoholism before I was 30. So I try to emphasize to the kids this is a very dangerous road to go down, and to emphasize how people are dying from it. But it's tough. Kids are very curious and tend to think they're invincible. They're a hard population to get through to.
What do they tell you?
That they're seeing it. They're seeing it in their schools. That They have people who ask them if they would like drugs. My son, who's in middle school, goes to downtown Annapolis and plays basketball. He's been approached because if you can get the young kids addicted, A, you can get them to deal for you and make good money, and you can get them addicted, and that's where you're going to get your market share. And so I have taught my boys and their friends, when I drop them off at the basketball court, what to say if someone offers them drugs. And Sheila, I can't say it on the radio, but they all yell it in the car, and they love it that mom sanctions, oh, a bad word. And so I just emphasize it.
You think it works?
I think it does work.
Fend off these approaches.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that is going to stick with me from your new book is what you tell us about the significance of grocery carts and recovery. Can you summarize that?
Yes. When I become entitled and I don't take my grocery cart back to the curb, I know that my old behaviors are coming back, that I feel that I should get a bigger piece of the pie. Selfishness, self-will runs riot among alcoholics and addicts, and that's what Bill Wilson wrote in 1932.
The founder of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. So when I bring my groceries to the car and I don't want to take that cart back, I realize I think that I'm different and I'm entitled to be more selfish. So I had a counselor many years ago say, you want to be one of those people who naturally takes your grocery cart back. And I find when those behaviors start creeping up that I need to increase my own recovery.
And for you, you're a great believer in the 12-step approach. So for you, that's going to a meeting every day.
I do go to a meeting. I go every morning. And people think, my gosh, are you still that fragile, that unstable that you need to go to a meeting every day? Well, no, I'm not that fragile or unstable at this point in my life. But my friends are there. Lousy coffee is there. Donuts. And it's kind of like my insulin. It's my medicine. And with this new book, I put, there's 70 research citations in it. And the publisher wanted me to put alternative methods for recovery. And still, 12 steps is by far the one thing that has the greatest success in achieving long-term sobriety.
And that's what you mean by the road to sanity.
Yes, the road to sanity. And people don't always want to hear that about the 12 steps. And I think when they're resistant to it, it's the disease that's resistant to it. It's not the actual person. They're just not ready yet. But once you get in there, it's a lot of fun.
Joni, thank you.
Thank you.
Joni Gamel of Annapolis. Her book is Painkillers, Heroin, and the Road to Sanity. She'll be speaking December 11th at 6 p.m. at the Colmack Clinic, an outpatient alcohol and drug abuse treatment center. It's part of their program, 12 Days, Supporting Recovery During the Holidays. We've got all that information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Coming up on Maryland Morning, singer-songwriter Leah joins us. Stay with us on 88.1.